The Industry Review with One For All gift cards from Unpost. Tax-free staff rewards up to €1,500 per employee per year. Available online or at your local post office.
Forget about the maps and the guidebooks. Today we've got the real deal with us. Three brilliant Irish tour guides who spend their days turning our history, myths, and even the odd pub story into adventures. Joining me for this week's Industry Review are three of Ireland's finest tour guides to give me a sense of how their businesses are going. I'm delighted to welcome Tommy Graham. He's the editor of History Ireland magazine. He also conducts historical walking tours of Dublin. Trudy Carmody is a private tour guide, and she's also a genealogist. And also joining us is Colette Farrelly, national tour guide, and she's a director of the ATGI. You're also welcome, Colette. Tommy, we might start with you. Give us a sense of the business you started in 1986 as a student in Trinity. I know that one of your USPs is that all your guides are historians.
All unemployed historians, which is still the case. I mean, in 1986, I mean, when I think about it, there was nothing. I was listening to Bob Geldof, actually, on the radio. Like, he was reminding us how crap everything was, you know. Nothing worked, you know. Half the city was in ruins, you know. I mean, one of the things I used to have to explain to tourists sometimes was, you know, were we involved in the war, right? And I said, no, we did this to ourselves. No, I mean, the whole city's been transformed ever since, you know. I mean, even when it came to American tourists, most of them landed in Shannon, so you didn't see them. Yeah. You know, they flew over past Dublin.
Even when you think back of the agenda of an American tourist back in those days, they were going to the Jury's Cabaret. You know, like they did sort of different things.
I have to put a word in here for Hal Roach, the comedian, because I do use one of his lines. Ladies and gentlemen, you're very lucky here today. This is the 40th anniversary of my material, right? I always remember that line, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, so just maybe explain how the business works, if you would, Tommy.
Mine is a very simple, narrowly focused business. Nothing like Colette has a much wider remit than me, you know. Like, I just do walking tours. I mean, occasionally people ask me, you know, put together a whole day program, and I say, no, sorry, you know,
that's not me.
On to somebody else. I just do it like the fox. I have one trick, you know. Our business operates there's two sides. One is a scheduled service. People book online. And of course, since COVID, it's all gone online and cashless, which is an advantage, I have to say, from an administration point of view. The other side of the business then is private bookings, you know, and that's one of these things you build up over the years. You have repeat customers, you know.
And would that be a kind of a la carte service where somebody would say, I want to do a walking tour of Dublin's pubs, maybe specific that would be bespoke to that?
Yeah. Well, in general, they want a broad narrative, right, which we give them. But you'll get, say, some corporate group, and they're lawyers, for example. So you'd give them a kind of a legal history tilt, you know.
Yeah.
But our guides would have to do a little bit of work and prepare for it, you know. So we do bespoke tours.
Okay.
But in general, they're looking for the general product.
Okay. You know? Stay with us. I want to talk. Next, I want to introduce you to Colette Farrelly, a national tour guide and director at the ATGI. Welcome, Colette. How are you?
Thank you, Bobby.
Tell us a little bit about your business and how it started and what it is you actually do.
Well, a little bit like Tommy here, I've been in the business for a long time. I started in the old days of Hal Roach as well, I can say. I remember that line.
I actually worked in the Jury's Cabaret, so the three of us have stuff in common.
So I kind of grew up with the business, and it has changed a lot over the last years. And now I'm working as a national guide, and I go around Ireland, all around Ireland, and I mainly work with German people, and I talk to them about everything.
Okay.
Everything about Ireland. I give them a kind of portrait of Ireland, bringing in all the dimensions of Irish life, including Irish history, and I find that very interesting. And then I'm a director of ATGI, which is the association, or the approved tourist guides of Ireland, and we have more than 710 members. And we're all very highly trained guides.
Great.
And I'm working as a trade liaison director.
Great. And can I ask you then, and I know probably no tour is typical, but if we were to take one of your typical days, 12 Germans on a bus going for 12 days somewhere, and then you fill in the pieces.
Right, yes, that you have it quite typically put there. Yes, we have a lot of things, but we operate with a pre-written itinerary. We do what we're told. It's quite simple then. You just have to do what you're told. And we show people various aspects. The itinerary is usually very interesting. For example, if we're in the Midlands, we might show the Shannon River, a little cruise or something. And then maybe perhaps we might go to Clonmacnoise and we bring a bit of culture into the picture. Yeah. And then we might travel a little bit further, maybe go to Cong, talk about Maureen O'Hara and all that type of thing. And it's all done in a very structured way.
Yeah. And so would... You'd know before the supposed 12 Germans got on the bus exactly where you were going for those 12 days.
Absolutely.
Right. Planned to the last detail.
Down to the last detail. Right. Sometimes we put the last detail in to make it more interesting sometimes.
And you must get to know, you know, your guests pretty well if you're with them on a bus, particularly for something like 12 days.
You do, actually. And one of the latest developments, and I don't know, Tommy, are you aware of this or Trudy as well, is we have to do a WhatsApp group.
Right.
So everybody puts pictures up of everyone else and makes jokes. And 6 weeks later, you're getting a WhatsApp message from your clients.
That's great.
We have kind of a fan club, really.
let's bring in Trudy, our third guest. Trudy, you're very welcome. Trudy Carmody, private tour guide. And you're also a genealogist. Tell us more.
Morning, Bobby. So I'm the complete opposite of Colette. My tours are not a bit structured at all. So I have small groups. I drive a Ford Tourneo, so up to 7, maybe 8 guests at a push. And I put together from the get-go, my guests contact me, primarily Americans, maybe Canadians or North Americans. And I put together the itinerary. I make suggestions for their accommodations. I help book that. I put together the itinerary, meet them on Zoom, so I get to know them before they even arrive in the country.
Wow.
So I put an itinerary together, And then when they get here, it can even change on a whim with me. So this week I have 4 fabulous guests from Texas, and they're amazing, and everything is bigger in Texas, is the motto for this week. It's hilarious. But the itinerary completely changed because of weather, because of where we are, because the conversation... Turns out one of them is into photography. So yesterday we did Sleighhead and Dingle. And in my mind, I'm keeping all ideas of where to stop for the best photographs for him.
Wow.
Today, now they're gone off on a jarvie around the National Park in Killarney. And tomorrow then we head across the Burren. So mine, it's an element, of, I won't say make it up as you go along, but it can change. You have an idea of what you're doing. But then it can actually change on a 50-pence piece, as we would say.
So typically then you would do some class of interview with your potential guests around what they like, what they don't like, their age profile, the sort of their sporting activities, all those kind of things.
Yeah,
you get to know them as best as you can.
Yeah. Well, firstly, it's an age demographic and their level of fitness, what their interests are, what their wish list is. Some people have a wish list. And a lot of people these days coming, their wish list is not to do the big places.
Yeah.
Typically, I might get people on a second visit that they've done the big bus on the first visit. They've ticked all those boxes and now they want off the beaten track. And that's where people like me would take them. And just try and involve everything that they're interested in. And it could be anything, as Colette just said. You're dealing with history, heritage, culture, the weather, the price of a house, how much you pay for a car. Politics come into it, obviously, a little bit. Yeah, and you have to be careful with your politics. You don't really need, no want politics in the car.
Sometimes the less said, the better then, Trudy,
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then some of them do want to get talking about the politics. And that's okay, too. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Anything is up for discussion, and what goes on in the van stays in the van.
And do you have a WhatsApp group?
I would set up a WhatsApp group. A lot of my clients, being Americans, are on iPhones. So that can work either. Some of them would work off Messenger and Facebook. So whatever suits. And typically, they're either a family, or this week I have, they're a family, but I have 2 couples. So I'll have at least 1 number at the start. and we'll work through that because they stick together.
Okay.
So I don't have like what Colette would say, where they wander off separately in the evening. Mine typically would be together in their evening.
Okay, stay with us. Tommy, you've guided people through the Troubles, the peace process, the banking crash and Brexit, just to name a few.
Yes.
How, I think maybe this might be a weird question, but how have you tailored your product to the times that we currently live in?
Well, I don't talk much about the Troubles these days unless somebody asks me, because it's not on the agenda.
Yeah.
You know? Similarly with Brexit, but all those things, the crash, Brexit, I worked out a narrative, you know, 2 minutes, you know. No, I tell you one very strange experience I had. I did a bus tour, which I don't normally do, but it was, you know, revolutionary Ireland, you know, like we went to West Cork, we went to Derry, Belfast and so on, right? But it was mainly English people, but it was a year or two after Brexit. So normally the pressure is on me to explain the intricacies of Irish politics. In this group, complete polarization, and I just sat back and they just argued with Brexit for the entire 2 weeks.
And you
no, I mean it was marvelous, right?
Yeah.
To have it turn on its head for a change, right? But it really interesting discussion, actually, right? I mean, I should have recorded it, actually.
And again, I don't want to sort of pigeonhole any nationality, but do different nationalities look for different things?
Well,
at a high level.
The reality is, you know, English people, British people, Australians, totally tuned into the sense of humour, right? Like, so Americans, on the other hand, Germans, maybe, you know, a little bit irony has passed them by, you know. So you have to be careful. Because yeah. I could say something as a joke, and then somebody
says, joke with one crowd and it's not with another.
Do you realise, you know, X, Y, Z, you know, like, no, I didn't say that, you know. So that can be, but, it, you know, that can be funny. I mean, most of my people are English speaking, so either Americans, British, or Northern Europeans, Scandinavian, so on, but or Dutch people, good levels of English, you know. But no, the thing is, you can't beat the old Brits for the sense of humour, you know.
What's the, I suppose, the optimum length for a walking tour?
Well,
3-4 hours?
I do 2 hours.
Right.
You know, and it depends. Like, I very, very much favour Trudy Chano's approach, right, of, you know, flexibility, because it'll sometimes run over, you know, but no, 2 hours. I mean, that's about half an hour of walking, spread over 2 hours, so it's you're only walking for about half an hour.
And what sort of money does the tourist pay typically?
Our schedule service, €19.
Okay, that's great
person.
Value.
Yeah,
great value. Colette, when you're looking at your new next season, for instance, how have things been in terms of the numbers, particularly now if you're part of the ATGI? You know, we've heard conflicting things about who the tourists are coming to the country and how many of them there are and whether they're down or how much they're down. What's your on the ground feel to that?
Well, it's a very interesting question. On the ground, we did see a change in the way things happened this year. We had a lot of cancellations this year.
Is that right?
Bookings were made at the beginning of the year. And because they couldn't get the required number to make it viable, some tours cancelled. And in other cases, some tours consolidated. Instead of having two guides, you only had one because they put the two numbers together. And then they, you know, that affected a lot of guides. And some people found themselves not working at times of the year in the past when they should have been working. So that was really an interesting thing. Now, in ATGI, we have a facility known as Find a Guide, and a lot of us would go to that facility if we found ourselves out of work, because we're being offered tours all the time. Okay. That's one of the benefits of being a member.
So that's a platform where you can make yourself available.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that actually helped some of our members to get work in the event of being cancelled. And it did happen throughout the year. And the other interesting thing this year was that the shoulder season didn't materialise. What I mean by that, Bobby, is that in March and in April it was very flat.
Right.
And we're all finding October very flat. So basically speaking, it's a change.
It's been not a great year then, in summary.
Not we wouldn't have imagined a year like this 5 or 6 years ago.
And can I ask you then, when you look to next year, mm-hmm. how much do you know about next year at this stage?
Well, we're kind of looking at it as being cautiously optimistic, and
right.
that Foilge Ireland would say the same. I mean, Foilge Ireland is investing a lot of money in some of the sites around Ireland, and they're also investing a lot of money marketing Ireland in various markets. So we're hoping that that will realise being a good year for next year. But having said all of that, the other thing that's very optimistic for me is the concept of the cool-cation.
Yeah.
Do you know what a cool-cation is, Bobby?
A place where a trendy place to be where you feel...
No.
Go on.
A cool-cation is a holiday where the weather is very nice, meaning cool. And that's a very new concept, which is quite exciting,
and,
really.
And are we... Is that something we can advertise as a nation?
Well, for the first time this year, I have heard the comment from my German people that the weather is fantastic in Ireland.
My God, that's brilliant.
So there
you are. Back to you, Trudy. Tell me how the genealogy works as part of the tour package that you offer.
Well, it's really funny just to come back in on what Colette was saying. As a private tour guide, and I'm in the other tour guiding association, the independent tour guides, and we work slightly differently. Yeah, exactly. But if we're finding the opposite, there's a lot of jobs going up on the WhatsApp between us, and we're sharing the work. And I'm still out on the road. I'm in Killarney, as you guys know today, and I'm out right up until the 20th of November this year. And the shoulder season was amazing. A lot of our guides are back-to-back busy for October. So the market, and I suppose the audience, like I'm primarily age 55 plus North American. And again, that cool cation is happening here too. It's still 90 to 95 degrees in Texas where my guests have come from, and they're really enjoying this weather. But so next year as well, for me, I've already got 5 weeks tours booked in for next year. And again, my tourists are different. They're high end. The money is not an object. They're of a certain age where they've got disposable income. Kids are grown up and left the nest. And a lot of them, then you're saying about the genealogy, they want to go back to the homeland. And I find when you bring them off track and you bring them back to the village, and sometimes you can't find the exact house or the place or the plot of land where the family is from, but you can bring them back to the town or the village.
Wow.
And what they really want to say is, in 18 whatever, my family left with nothing. They got on a boat not really knowing where it was going to a place they really knew nothing about, to not jobs, did have a job. And what they want to do, I feel, and some of them have said it to me, they want to come back here and say to the people of Ireland and the people of the little villages, is, you made the right decision.
Yeah.
We did good. And here we are. And they want to contribute to small businesses in particular. I always say I've got a few customers. The hotels my guests stay in, my guests obviously primarily, and the small businesses I bring them to.
Of course.
We were out on Slayhead yesterday, and they bought jewellery from a girl who makes her own jewellery, Rebecca. And she makes jewellery using the OM alphabet. And what they said coming away was they couldn't believe what they were giving her was in her pocket. She was making the jewellery and they were handing it to her and keeping her going and her little micro business as an artist.
Yeah, that's great.
So there's a lot of the community that benefit from tourism. And next year, this year we have found generally the guides in the ITGA is it's holding steady. The shoulder seasons for us has increased. And next year is looking good. But again, like Foilge Ireland are saying, cautious optimism.
Okay. Tommy, I want to give you the last word in terms of you're kind of an eclectic group. In other words, it's you all have your own angles on the same sector, which is really interesting that you're doing the same thing, but albeit slightly differently. When you look forward now, you've been around a good few years doing this. Do you see much change, or do you see how you might have to change the product relative to what the tourist wants?
Well, I mean, in Dublin, there's been an atomization. Like, there's far more specialist tours, or ghost tours, food tours. You know, it's broadened out, which is great. You know, there's still these free tours, but don't get me started on those. Right, that's the enemy. I think in terms of the marketplace, I mean, the big threat is always the international situation, and it's not good at the moment, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
But on the other hand, tour guide business, they're kind of cockroach businesses. I mean, they have withstood the four horses of the apocalypse, right? I've been through several wars at this stage, and you know, COVID, everything, you know. I mean, COVID was killed us all stone dead for a couple of years, right? But, you know, but we all resurrected ourselves afterwards, you know.
And in terms of things like technology and that sort of stuff, are they irrelevant? Want the human touch.
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing earlier this whole thing of AI, you know, but you can't beat a live guide, you know. I mean, the point is we already have pre-recorded, you know, headsets and all. I mean, and like, okay, they're useful if you have nothing else, right?
Yeah.
But they can't beat a guide. You can ask them a question, and as Trudy was saying, you know, bringing them to, say, they're the village where their people came from, talk to a local or whatever, you know. So, I mean, we've a very good product. I mean, the people in this business do excellent.
It's great, and it's great to meet all three of you today, and thank you for joining me, because it really is a sector to be celebrated. You're doing great work.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Bobby.
So thank you, Colette Farrelly. Thank you, Tommy Graham. And thank you, Trudy Carmody, all for joining us this morning. And good luck out there
thank
with
you,
those
Bobby.
Great tours that you're doing.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.